Pray for a moment. Father, we want to thank you right now in the closing minutes of this meeting that I'll just be able to share something that will go deep into the hearts of your people, that they'll know they are loved and that the grace of God knows no bounds and it's there for us because of your great love for us. Pray every person right now will be impacted by some of these things I'm about to say and that we will be changed from glory to glory into your marvelous image by your presence in us. Amen. It's an amazing thing, you know, that we carry in us the glory of God. You know, in the tabernacle, they had the holy place, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And in there was the Ark of the Covenant. And the glory of God was there. And the high priest could only go in once a year and not without blood. And they tied a rope around his ankle in case he didn't do it quite right and dropped dead, and then they had to pull him out. Well, that Holy of Holies, that's us now. That's where God resides. That's our spirit. And God himself dwells in each one of us. The Bible says that if we do not have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. And the Holy Spirit is what seals us as being his. When we get saved, we say, yes, Jesus, come into my heart. Well, literally, the Holy Spirit comes and breathes his new life into us, and we become seated by God's sperm. The Greek word is literally sperm. The sperm of God impregnates our spirit with himself. That's why Jesus said, I called you little gods. And I'll say a little bit more about that later, because often, you know, preachers of righteousness can be misunderstood. We're not saying we're God. But we are made in his image. Well, what does that mean? You know, I mean, we need to get a reality, we need to get a grasp on who we were originally created to be and who we are now in his image, completed with the Spirit of God actually joined to our spirit. The Bible says, they that are Christ's are one spirit. It means God's Holy Spirit and your spirit are one spirit. We are children, born ones of God, technon. We are born of God. My children have my DNA. We have God's DNA. What an amazing, amazing grace that we who were once separated from God, unclean, unholy, and sinners, should now become the most holy place on earth. The dwelling place of God. We are the dwelling place of God. It is amazing grace. But the message of grace, Joseph Prince was sharing, is not a message, it's a person. It's all about Jesus Christ. And Paul said he preached nothing but Christ and him crucified. And I've often wondered how you could be consistent in preaching a message about Jesus, because there's so many other things that need to be taught. But Paul said, no, focus on Christ. Well, when you realize that grace is not a message, it's the person of Jesus, then you can preach about the person of Jesus forever. And you just get revelation. If you've listened to Joseph Prince's tapes and books and videos, you realize he takes a lot of Old Testament types and just brings Jesus out of it. It's just amazing. But it's when you separate the message of grace from the person of grace, that's when you have error. And I had one question for Joseph, which I asked him, and he spent half an hour answering. I said, you know, the grace message is often criticized because they say that what we're doing is we're giving Christians an excuse for licentiousness. We're saying, you know, why not sin that grace may abound? And he says, well, when people preach grace without Jesus as the center, when they preach it as a message and not as a person, when you separate the two, that's when error comes in. Because you can hear people preaching about grace, but you don't sense the presence of Jesus in the message. You don't sense the honor for him in the message. And that's when the problem comes in. But I remember he actually quoted Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a preacher last century, a theologian. And I read the same book that he read, and I underlined and copied and have quoted in this church. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this. He says, when you preach grace, if you are not being misunderstood, then you're not preaching the gospel of grace that Paul preached. Because when Paul preached it, they misunderstood what he was saying. They're saying, oh, so you're saying we can all just sin and get away with it and it's okay. Let's sin that grace may abound. See? But when you really preach the message of grace, then there should be a certain amount of confusion in people's minds. Oh, so God loves me just the way I am and I can go and sin and then it's all okay. God does overlook sin. He does not impute sin. The Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with Christ Jesus the righteous. It doesn't say if any man sin and then repent. It says if any man sin. The moment you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. And he goes to work on your behalf, interceding for you. There is no if you sin, there is no judgment. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, whether they sin or not. Can you sin in Christ Jesus? Well, yes, you are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you sin, you need to sort it out because it will destroy your life. But the point is that in Christ there is no condemnation. Now, that can easily be misunderstood as saying it's okay to sin. But that's not what we're saying. But if you're not preaching the gospel of grace, that question is never asked. And there's so much legalism and law in the church that often there's no confusion at all. It's just law, 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 law. And so people feel very, very bad about themselves. They come to church and they just feel so heavy and weighed down with guilt. And yet the whole point of the gospel of grace is that God wants to remove from us a consciousness of sin. He wants to remove totally from our lives a consciousness of it. So that even when we sin, God is saying, I don't see it, I do not impute it to you. I imputed it to Jesus Christ. Now we feel bad. But the Bible says if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. The only way to be free from a lifestyle of sin is to know that when God looks at you, he does not see you a sinner. He does not impute your sin to you. David said, blessed is the man. He just committed adultery and murder. And he says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. Because he experienced it. He reached into the New Testament culture of grace. He should have been stoned. But he was not, because he was a prophet. And he reached into the New Testament culture of grace and said, blessed are these people who are coming on the earth, who are going to live as though they had not sinned. That's the culture of grace. The grace culture does not mean you do not correct people. Pulpit is meant for feeding and not telling people off. A lot of pulpits are where the preacher is angry at God's people. And they're correcting God's people and they're telling them off. Now, you can do that one-on-one, you know, if somebody's in sin in the church, if somebody's having problems, well, you get alongside them and you help them sort themselves out. But the pulpit is for feeding people. That was a revelation to me. That was just so good. He said that when he got a revelation on grace, he told his church to throw away all tapes before, what was it, 2002 or something? That so encouraged me, because remember I did that. Those of you who have been with me long enough, yeah, remember the early days, thundering from Mount Sinai, and I says, if I catch any of you with a tape from those early days, you're dead. And I don't know, I think I'm going to rewind the clock back to about 2009 now. If I catch anybody with a tape before 2009, trouble. Sorry? Grace, my wife says grace. Yes, grace, 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 grace. I'm learning. I'm not perfect. I'm learning. I'm on a journey, and I'm hoping to take you with me. There are many preachers who mean well, but their books and messages have caused much harm, brought bondage and legalism. So we don't recommend you just wander on down to the local bookshop and take anything that picks your fancy. You're free to do whatever you like, but seriously, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that's quite damaging. I think I need to pull the plug. Continue next week. Maybe this is going to be a little series. I think I'll leave it there and have you wanting more rather than wanting me to sit down. Well, tell you what, I'll just share this. If you read the book of Hebrews, you only hear the faith report of those heroes of faith, but they had many failures. In the hall of faith, God does not impute or record sin. When people fail, don't notice. When they do well, never forget. If people make mistakes, you just treat them as if they haven't. That's what grace is. But we've got to see it outworked in the life of the church. And I know, for me, that is still a process that I'm learning. You know, if somebody fails in the PA, if somebody doesn't get the slideshow ready for me, if somebody, you know, plays a wrong note, if someone hasn't set something up, if somebody offends you, the Bible says love overlooks a fault. Love does not notice when someone does them wrong. You know, they say that the grace message is greasy grace. It's not greasy grace at all. It's Jesus says, be perfect as I am perfect. That's the new culture. Be perfect. But the only way you can do that is to have a spirit of grace operating in your life. And it's just Jesus in you being who you need to be, because you can't do it. It's Jesus. It's going to be Jesus in you who helps you overcome your problems, or it ain't going to happen. Grace, God does not impute sin, and neither should we. It doesn't mean we shouldn't deal with issues, but it's the heart we're talking about. The heart of judgment has to come out of the church. The heart of judgment has to come out of the church. And the Lord gave me my own private sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I shared it with you. And he said to me, I've shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Perhaps you stop pointing with your finger. It's open hand is better than that. So I'm learning. I've shown you, O man, what... what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Oh, that's the other thing he said. He said, we say we want to give God all the glory. He says, but we don't. He says, we really want to say, look at God using me. God, you did an amazing thing, but you did it through me. Look at me. Look at, you know. And he says, until God deals with that, he says, he can't really use us. And I really thought that was just amazing. So obviously there's still some work there for all of us. Just say amen, say ouch or amen, one of the two. But he has shown you, man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy. And so I've been learning to love mercy. And God says, I'm going to show you how to love mercy. And I've been, you know, sitting behind people in the traffic and say, Lord, forgive them. And, you know, and I've tolerated it. And he says, no, you're not loving. You're forgiving them and you're showing grace, but you're not loving mercy. And the Lord showed me something which is just so precious. Look, some people love hot rods. Some people love chocolate. Some people love movies. Some people love music and film stars. And some people love nice hot baths, so on. I love mercy. That's what really makes my day. When they wanted to stone that woman caught in adultery, that made my day, because I was able to show mercy. I was looking for an opportunity. I was looking for someone in sin. I was looking for someone caught in sin so I could show mercy. I love that. I love just being able to show mercy. That's what I'm talking about. So now I'm driving in traffic looking for someone to shoot across me or to jam their brakes on, or so I can love to show them mercy. That's a totally different concept. But until you love to show mercy. You haven't got what God's talking about. That's the culture of grace. And here endeth this morning's message. Father, we just want to show one another mercy, and we want to learn to love it. And we know we can only do this by your Spirit, by an impartation of grace. Give us a measure beyond that which we've known, that we might truly learn to love one another, and by this all men will know that we're your disciples. Everyone said, Amen.